Good morning. I'm delighted to be here. I recognize a lot of faces. Anyways, my name is Liz Rescher, and the title of my living book is April Fool's Gem. Now, you're probably kind of wondering what's that going to be about, and I'll give you a little idea. It's just a horse. From time to time, people tell me, lighten up, it's just a horse, or that's a lot of money for just a horse. They don't understand the distance traveled, the time spent, or the cost involved for just a horse. Some of my proudest moments have come about with just a horse. Many hours have passed, and my only company was just a horse. But I did not once feel slighted. Some of my saddest moments have been brought about by just a horse. And in those days of darkness, the gentle touch of just a horse gave me comfort and reason to overcome the day. If you too think it's just a horse, then you'll probably understand phrases like just a friend, just a sunrise, or just a promise. Just a horse brings into my life the very essence of friendship, trust, and pure, unbridled joy. Just a horse brings out the compassion and patience that made me a better person. Because of just a horse, I will rise early, take long walks, and look longingly to the future. So for me and folks like me, it's not just a horse, but an embodiment of all the hopes and dreams of the future, the fond memories of the past, and the pure joy of the moment. Just a horse brings out what's good in me and diverts my thoughts away from myself and the worries of the day. I hope that someday they can understand that it's not just a horse, but the thing that gives me humanity and keeps me from being just a woman. So the next time you hear the phrase, just a horse, just smile, because they just don't understand. So many years ago, it was probably 15 years ago, I decided that I had gotten this mother horse. Well, she wasn't a mother yet. She was a mare. That's for a female horse. And she was very beautiful. And I thought, you know what? I would really like to have a baby foal, which is a little baby horse. So I shopped around, and I decided I wanted something with white socks. And by socks, I mean white feet. And so, and a big white blaze and black. I thought, oh yeah, I really want a black horse with white socks. And so I chose this as the father of to the mother. And then I had to wait. And I had to wait 11 months for this baby. And when she was getting ready to have her baby, I would go out to the barn throughout the night to check on her. Because lots of times, I also live on a farm with cows, and I know lots of times they can be born during the night, and if somebody's not there to help, then sometimes it just doesn't work out, and the little animal might get squashed underneath the mummy, or things happen on a farm. So I kept on going back and forth. So around 4:30 in the morning, I went and checked, and there was nothing. And then again at about 10 after 6 on April Fool's Day, I went and checked again, and there was two little feet was coming out about this long. And so I ran back to the house, and I got my husband up, and I didn't know how long it had been sitting there. Maybe it was desperate for air or something, you know, and you needed to get it out. So he came out, and we gave a little pull, or he gave a little pull, and out came this lovely little, no white socks on its little legs, but it did have a big white blaze on her forehead, and it was like an apple, but half eaten out. Big chunk was taken out of that white blaze. So I thought, cool horse, love her. I'm going to give her a special name, something that we'll all remember, April Fools. And then I thought, Gem, because she's a gem. So she became Gem to me, and she had many little, and I'm going to show you photos, but she had many little friends that she grew up with. She grew up with her mummy. She grew up with a goat called Webster. And now she has new goats called Bee and Bop. And she had a little group of chickens that would hang around, and Max the dog, and the kids. But actually, getting back to after she was born, one of the things that is important about horses, you want them to be safe around you and safe around people. So one of the things that we try to do when we want to sort of dominate them, to show them who's in control, is we do a thing called imprinting. So when the animal is born, we actually are told that we're supposed to kind of lay over top of them for dominance, and that we pat their feet, because we'll be cleaning their feet out, right, as they get older, and we don't want them kicking, so we pat their feet, we put our fingers in their ear, we tootle around their ears, we put our fingers up their nose, we put our fingers into their mouth, because, right, there's going to be a bit, like a little piece of metal that'll go in their mouth as they get bigger, so that is attached to the reins, right? So we want them to be obedient to that. As she struggled to get up, we kind of guided her over to have a little drink from mommy, and then from there, we more or less left her alone. But every day when I went in there, I'd always do lots of touching and lots of playing with her tail and touching her back and trying to lift up her feet. And as she progressed and got a little older, we put a little blue halter on, and we would lead her around, give a little tug, and as soon as she responded, we would take the tug off. So we weren't always yanking, so it was always a reward. So you give a little tug. If she came forward one step, you let it go, and it was a reward. It was a pet time, another little pull. And pretty soon, the little baby was able to follow us around. It was always rewarded with the pets, but its reward of the no pulling was that if it would follow, right? So that was always a reward. Then she got older. She was probably around 3, and we started making her do us. We'd hold a big long line and make her do circles around us, walk, trot, canter, and so we would do that to get her used to verbal instructions. She would actually know what walk, trot, canter, emphasizing the C of canter, and she would learn stuff like that. Then it came time to start riding, and that was made me a little scared, because I'd put the saddle on, and then I'd put a sack of feed maybe on top of her, see how she liked that. And she was really good, perhaps maybe because of imprinting, I'm not too sure, but she was always a really good horse that way. She never harmed me at all, and she grew to be a big animal. She was a big animal. Anyways, we started taking instruction on how to sort of train her as a young horse, and from there, when she got more braver with stuff, we'd go on outings. We'd go up to Cultus Lake and go on trails up there. We would go up to Merritt or Princeton area or Manning Park, and we'd go on trails. And often the mom would come along, and sometimes I would ride the mom and she would just follow along, or sometimes I rode her and the mom would just follow along. So there was always that partnership, and that even if you were by yourself, you had your friend along with you. And as time went along, we got more into jumping. I thought, oh, that looked pretty exciting. And so we did some jumping, and then from there, friends were into a thing called eventing, which is, you do jumping, but you do in the cross-country trails, and you go over through ditches and over through water and through old trees, and you jump over these logs, and we would do a lot of stuff like that. Has anybody ever taken their dog down to Island 22? Do you know where Island 22 is, Hayden? Yeah, well, down there. You've seen the horse jumping or you've seen the big jumps out there, Hayden, with the wood? Yeah, so that's the area where I would go. So, and this year she did really well, and she got a big fancy prize, and she got herself a big ribbon, and she got a picture in paper, and so I'm really proud of those moments that I did with my friend, my special friend, April Fool's Jim. So thank you for listening to my story.